Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the NFT Pioneers podcast. Today I have a really special guest, happy to call a buddy, a friend. It's Jan. He's the co-founder of Meta Festival and he's always the director of Web3 at Depth, which is a digital agency for creativity, technology and data. Welcome on the podcast, Jan.
Hi, really cool to have me to be here and thanks for the warm welcome. Yes.
Can you maybe a little introduce yourself and how you ended up in the Web3 space?
Yes, absolutely. So, as you said, so my name is Jan. I'm 41. I'm living in Hamburg, and I would call myself a future optimist, right? Although I have been working 15 years in the digital industry already, right, and solving a lot of Web2 problems for lots of brands. Now I'm working as director of Web3 at Depth Agency. It is kind of a new role for me because in the last 3 years, I was building Depth in Germany as a managing director, and I would say more as a side hustle, mostly during the nights. I was building the German part of our Web3 practice. And since July, I'm fully focusing now on this new role, further developing our Web3 proposition, which is actually really a blessing because I really enjoy what I'm doing every day. And so you mentioned the Meta Festival. So I fell in love with the whole Web3 idea 1.5 years ago, roughly. And in 2021, then I co-founded the Meta Festival, which was our, I would call it, go-to-market format for our metaverse proposition. And although not everybody was really familiar with the concept at that time, I think it was a smart move for us to position us in that area. And actually show in a kind of a high-end 3D environment based on the Journey platform, how metaverse experiences should or could be like in the future, instead of just talking about it, right? And so after this Meta Festival, with our first step in that direction, a lot of first moving brands approached us, which was really, really cool for us because they wanted to be active in that space. And since then, we've done a couple of projects. So for example, we've built it's so sweaty. So I just told you that it's really hot here in Hamburg today. So we built a virtual showroom for H&M beginning of this year. Also based on the Journey platform, we've done another virtual event thing with Bo Business, also with a metaverse focus. And just recently, we went live with Hypeware.io, which is the new NFT marketplace from About You for digital fashion, which is, I think, kind of a world premiere that there's a digital fashion NFT marketplace. And we did the whole, the whole project from branding, UX, UI design, development, etc. So that's how I started, right? I think that's what we talked about. We just did it because we fell in love with the idea and then started working it, luckily with a lot of cool brands. Yes.
So the guys in the audience, before you continue listening to this podcast, go and follow Jan on LinkedIn. I will put his profile on the comments. The reason is because Jan is one of the few person in Europe that actually worked on like really big projects and always with really big brands, and he executed the stuff he's now going to talk about. So make sure to follow him. And my first question to you, Jan, obviously you hosted a festival or like an event that had thousands of attendees, and it was called the Meta Festival. Like, my first question is, what is the metaverse? Is it something real or is it just a concept?
That's a good one to start with, I would say. So I think the metaverse is actually everything we can imagine as human beings, right? So I think we all have individual needs and dreams. And so this is actually a very personal question. And to this answer you will get from every individual you would get an individual or personal answer, right? Yes, and so I think for you it could be something completely different than for me, just like the internet of today, right? So depending on what you like or what you're curious about, the internet got you covered, right? So and I think the metaverse kind of will be the same. So if you enjoy gaming, let's say, it will be very gamified. And if you like to experience things like art or music, it will be a mind-blowing, immersive, artsy experience, right? Some people, I think, will learn or work in an environment like this. And of course, some won't like it, and they will keep working in an office and they don't want to work digitally. So I think not everybody will really like it from the beginning, but a lot of people will. And I think that's definitely because it's I think it's already happening today, right? That people spend more and more time online and they like to present themselves, right? And their identity, and they meet on Insta, on TikTok, on Roblox, or on LinkedIn, you know, in a work environment. So I think I really like the quote from Ready Player One. I think it says, people come for all the things they can do, but they stay because of all the things they can be, right? And I think that's a big part, or maybe the most important part of the metaverse, right? The identity and everything that you can express yourself there. And coming back to your question, what is the metaverse? So I think it's an opportunity to translate our identity, values, ourselves, right? Our hobbies, our passions, and the whole part of our life. It could be work, it could be hanging out with friends, into a 3D fully immersive version of the web of today. But it's not there yet, right? It's not real yet. I think it will take a lot of time, a lot of development, a lot of smart people, and we'll have to work on building the connections, connecting the dots, etc. And but it will be fun, I think.
Jan, you are always in contact with a lot of brands. What are the topics they seek the most support from you guys concerning Web3?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I think I see two types of situations, right? So on the one hand, I see companies that have already decided that they want to do kind of an NFT metaverse project, right? Mostly because their industry is adapting things a bit faster. So it's like fashion brands, lifestyle, luxury, automotive, etc. And here they are a bit, I would say, FOMO driven, right? It's an ugly word, but it's like this. So they don't have a real business need or a use case, right? So they want to use the technology because their competition is kind of starting to use it. That's one case. And the other case, it's like when companies in other industries that adapt these things a bit slower, right? So but then they have smart Web3 enthusiasts inside of the organization that would want to do a project. They see certain use cases, but they need to buy buy-in from the management, let's put it like this. So these are often situations that we see when we are approached by clients, right? And and then they need, of course, on one hand strategic support, but on the other hand, and this is something that you also see in your projects, right? Like also when it comes to the implementation of the project, they definitely need support there. And I think there are still big gaps also in terms of what agencies offer right now, especially, you know, the whole legal part, the finance part, etc. It's still a big mess and it's super early. So a lot of consulting work, I would say.
It's good to also hear it from you, because I was always saying that not a lot of NFT projects from big brands, actually, they not all of them offer utility and they're mostly in the space because of FOMO. They saw Nike and those other big companies getting involving, acquiring big customers, and then they saw the success that Nike had and the millions of dollars it generated, especially with Artifact and Co. And now the other brands are like, hey, they are doing it, they are using it, and they are capturing market shares. And now we have to forcefully adapt. And it's really good to also hear it from you.
Yes.
What are the biggest challenges for brands that want to actually start an NFT project? Let's say Mercedes is watching now and they're like, hey, Jan, do an NFT project for us, or they want to do it on their own. What is the most, or like, let's say the biggest challenge they have currently?
Yes. Yeah, I think it's actually cutting through all the hype, right? And the noise and finding real value for their aspire target groups. So I think that's the biggest challenge they have. I don't know if they all see it, right? But I think that's the biggest part. And so I would say they shouldn't just use the technology for the sake of using the technology. They should and then expect users to fall in love with them, right? Because this is what they do. Hey, we are using the technology, so please love us for it. That's not what they should do. So I think they should develop a vision. You know, they should develop a story they want to tell. They should listen to their users, incorporate their ideas. You know, the whole Web3 idea, right? It's not just about using the technology, but really, yeah, deeply thinking about what they want to do, what they want to create, and that's, I would say, it's the biggest challenge they have at the moment.
Is there a project in the Web3 space that was launched by a big brand where you say, hey, this project I really loved because it really offers utility or it has a nice story behind it? I mean, let's say, for example, Lamborghini, they did, I think, like a couple of months ago, some auctions where they had like the history of Lamborghini and then picture and then creating an image that was like in the metaverse, it was on the moon and with all the parts, and then the owner of the NFT actually received like a gift from Lamborghini. Is there like some sort of project from a big brand where you say, hey, they did it really good?
I mean, there must have been some, right? So I mean, it's all just first steps for most of them. So you mentioned Nike. I think Nike did a great job acquiring Artifact and then, you know, buying into the community, into the real fancy community, I would say, right? And then further developing the whole idea with the avatar economy and you know, the digital sneakers, etc. I think this is still, I would call it the role model for brands that did well. But I mean, they really decided for themselves they want to play a big role in the Web3 space, right? So that's why they acquired the company. So this was a big move, right? It was a risky move, but it played out well. And I have to think a bit. Maybe at a later stage it will come to my mind. What other projects I have?
We mentioned that a lot of brands started an NFT project, and we saw that some brands succeeded and some not. And obviously defining success is relative, and it depends from the project strategy, and it's different for each project. But how can a brand determine if the project is successful, or are there any steps for building a successful project?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good one, because I think it starts with the goals, right? That you set yourself. So is it just successful if you have a high floor price? Is this the success factor? I would say no, right? So if we are looking, let's say, 1, 2, 3 years down the road, right? What should happen? I mean, NFTs cannot be a rich people game, right? It has to be affordable by the masses. If brands wanna do mainstream business, right? And so it can't be I don't know what 80 ETH floor prices, and then you expect a community to gather around this. So this is not going to happen. So and even I would say there are very successful NFT projects that have a very low floor price. So maybe even in the future, NFTs have nothing to do with speculation or financial gain, right? So maybe it's about giving it away for free because it's another value you create. It's hard to say what is successful. I would say it's always about being clear about what your goals are, right? So if your goals are to connect with a certain demographic, with a certain target group, and you're able to connect with them and you're in interaction and you're building something with them together, I would say it is successful, although the floor price might be very, very low, right? So what's your take on it? I'm curious to learn from your side.
The way I frame it is like let's define the way the people in the NFT space, especially in the last year, how they defined the successful project was basically if the project launched, sold out, and had a high floor price. That was usually the metric that they had to judge a project if it's successful or not. And I was always like the guy, hey guys, selling out and having a high floor price isn't a metric to judge a project if it's successful or not. Because in my point of view, the only metric or the only thing that is going to determine the success of your NFT project is going to be time. Let's say Nike has currently a huge project. It's been huge traded. They make a lot of money with it and the community is really engaged. But if the community isn't anymore engaged with the brand and with the project after 6 months, would you still call it a successful project? No. Bored Ape Yacht Club, it's like on the market or it's successful for the last 1.5 years. And I think it's still early to call it like a blue chip project because, as we said, we're so early in the space. And what really success is, from my point of view, it's just if you start a project and you're still on the market after 3 years, you still have a community and your utility is still being used or you still have some sort of engagement on your project after 3-5 years, from my point of view, you did a really good job and you have a successful NFT project. Selling out means that you did your homework on marketing and that you succeeded in spreading the word about your project and making people believe in it. That's it. But if it's going to be successful or not, time is going to show. And time is going to show if you're really that good or time will show if you still can keep up the engagement. Because how we see it is like the project really... I think we talked about it like a couple of weeks ago about the other side thing where like Yuga Lab has to continuously create a new product, a new launch to keep up the hype and to keep up the engagement. And that's a thing like this isn't easy, guys, like keeping up the engagement, especially in the NFT space where there's a lot of projects being launched and there's a lot going on. It's not easy to keeping the community engaged, especially, I mean, we need some sort of statistics about it, but especially you or me, we are in endless, I think I'm in like 30 Discord groups, you know, like, and being engaged, maybe I'm engaging only one and the other 29, they are totally like out of my view. And so I would say keeping up the engagement is a really hard, difficult. So that was a bit a long part from my side. But
you're right. So it's the long-term engagement on the one hand, and it's also about being honest. So I'm consulting brands, right? And they are thinking about moving into that space, and my most important consultancy is always like, okay, be honest with yourself. Why do you want to do it? So if you want to have a short-term hype, it's fine, right? It's okay if you're honest with yourself. And this is the success metric. Fine, go with it. Let's find a way of doing it. But if you really want to do something, maybe that's the difference between the Web3 projects where you have project teams that build art or build certain new brands, or if you are a corporation, a big brand, and you want to be part of the movement. So that's, I think, is a whole different thing.
I totally agree. There is one client that we had advised or that we tried to pitch the project for. It's like a really big NFT project here in Austria. They did, I guess, 4.4 million or close to 5 million euros in mint. And basically, the NFT project was basically an art with no utility, and that's it. And I saw that, and then I did a quick audit, and then I reached out to the project manager, to the CEO of the company, and I told him, hey guys, you're doing something really, you're doing something wrong, and let's hop on a call and I will tell you what you have to do. So we hopped on a call, and then I had my list. I told him, hey guys, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this. And then he didn't care, because they were actually at that time doing really, really well, because they were doing like the millions, you know, that they were just selling. But the art itself had no utility. Like the people that bought it were into art. Those were like people that are in the real world really rich. The really rich guys bought their NFTs. And then I was like, hey guys, you have no utility and this won't work. He didn't listen to me. And what happened was they got a lot of shit PR here in Austria. Their floor price decreased 90%. Like they sold the NFT for like near to 2K and it dropped 90%, and they didn't sell out. And I told them, like, in the first thing, if you like, he was all about the second market dynamics about royalties. I told him, if you don't get it in the next months to sell out, there will be no second market dynamics, because people are going to buy on OpenSea instead of minting it for like 60-70% higher price. Obviously, he didn't listen. I hope he sees that. If you still want to turn around things, feel free to message us.
I wish you both all the luck in the world that it's going to work out. But yeah, I mean, it's okay to fail, right? That's
it's another okay, thing. But like now they have a reputation, you know? Like if they want to start a new project, people will remember like the last approach. The press is going to remember the last approach, and they're just effed.
Yes. Yeah, sometimes it is like this. So this is something I think which could be an advice from both sides. Listen to people that have done this before, right? It's also okay to test and learn, and I think it's even important, right? To fail and accept that you failed and do it better next time. So I think that's always important.
That's yes. Right.
Yeah.
My next question, let's continue.
Yes.
Obviously there is a lot of going on in the Web3 space. There's a lot of NFT projects. How can brands stand out with their NFT projects since everyone is starting one?
Yeah, I think that really depends on I would say the maturity in your industry, right? Or in your vertical. As I said, so fashion, it will become harder and harder because there have been a lot of projects, right? And also other more mature verticals. So there you really have to kind of reinvent the wheel every time you do something, right? So it could be a new utility. So again, Artifact raised the bar a bit with the whole digital thing, you know, the connection to this. So I think it will become harder. So it won't be like this, like 1.5 or 2 years ago, that you did something and everybody was like, wow, that's the new thing. So you really have to be creative. You have to find new utilities, new values, I would say, for your... Yeah, it's not users anymore. It's your shareholders somehow, right? Yeah. Your product shareholders. This is one thing. Quality is always, I would say, quality when it comes to creative is always super important, yeah. Right? You can always raise the bar when it comes to this, the creative stuff and the quality. And actually for the other industries, it's still quite easy. So that's why I am also so amazed about what's going on, because you still can. There are so many undone projects, so many opportunities out there. It's relatively easy to do something new in a certain industry. So I would encourage all the people that are sitting out there right now and thinking about doing a step here, do it, right? You can fail, but you don't have to. Just dare to do it, I would say.
Obviously, you are involved with the big fashion brands in Europe. Would you say that Nike raised the standard and set the standards, and now they're trying to... Are like other fashion brands limited by the standards that Nike set?
Yeah, to a certain degree. Yes, but on the other hand, let's say me as future optimist, right? So I think the whole industry is more and more understanding what kind of opportunity lies within the whole idea of digital fashion. Right. So they do have a big sustainability problem, like they always had. And this could be part of the solution, right? People want to flex. They want to flex in real life, but they also want to flex in you know, the digital environments they are in. And so I see on the one hand, yeah, it could be if you're their biggest competitor, which could be Adidas, right? Want to avoid doing the same steps now. But in general, I think if you think it through and if you believe in people living digital lives and also spending more and more of their money on digital goods, I think it's not a kind of a no-go area to go in. It's just the other way around, right? It's just even more, in this case, they are a role model, right? So maybe not for their closest competitors, but for all the others, I would say it's a real nice benchmark. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, you also marketed it like an Web3 and Metaverse event that was really successful. And my next question is going to be, what are the best ways to market an NFT project and get awareness? Be it for a Fortune 500 company, or be it for some 18-year-old guy that is now listening to this podcast, like, what is the best way on getting awareness?
Yeah, I mean, if I had the magic wand now for every project, every company, I wouldn't tell it to you. So I think there is no blueprint for this. Mm-hmm. I think that's the magic. I think it starts with the whole thing. So what is your goal that you want to achieve with this project, right? So if you it can be something without real awareness, right? It could be something that where you say it's not a big deal, it's not a OpenSea thing in public. Maybe it's something that it's more in my business, right? In my supply chain. Maybe not with NFTs, but could be something that's more loyalty driven, like Web3 CRM, right? So this could be something if you want to do something for your existing clients, for example. I think it's not only about awareness; it's about if it makes sense for your business, for a target group you want to reach out. So. This is probably the way I think about mm-hmm. it. So it's not about awareness; it's about making smart moves in your business. And also, I would say, and I know that some of my colleagues and other Web3 fans, they would punch me in the face now. But I also say, if you don't believe it, don't do it. Right? Don't do it just for FOMO. If you don't have values for a target group you want to reach, don't do it, right? Because you will fail anyway. So I would say, don't only think about awareness, think about long-term value for your business and for the target groups. And that's my take on it.
Love it. I just want to add something in the Web3 space, especially when I also talk with other colleagues. I always ask them, how are you feeling about running ads for NFT projects? And everyone is like, no, you can't do that. That's not how the space works. It's just not authentic. And I have the opposed opinion. I think running ads is one of the ways you can reach your target audience without relying on someone else. What do I mean by that? Like the current way how the NFT projects are being advertised or how they get awareness is by making cooperations with other influencers or with other projects that already have the target audience you want to reach. And what they are going, what in the end, they reach to them and then they give whitelist spots for their audience or some sort of revenue share, etc. And I'm always like,
also, this leads to the point that you made earlier. What is success? Is it having 150K people in your Discord that don't care about your project, right? Because they just came in because of the whitelist.
That's right. That's a really, really good point. Like, if you hand out whitelist spots, only whitelist spots for the sake of growing a comp, for growing the page, you are, what kind of people are you attracting? You're attracting people that just want to make a quick buck or the people that you actually don't want to reach. So running ads, with running ads, especially if you know where your target audience is, it's the best way to reaching your target audience without being dependent on someone else. The thing is, the hardest thing is when running those ads to brand and not to sell. I think that's a differentiating factor about if your campaigns are going to be successful or not.
Yeah, I know I haven't seen too much in-game or in metaverse advertising yet, right? But I mean, these would be obvious places to advertise, right? So, but I know there are some solutions for this, and I think it will be more. And if I was on brand side and I had some budget to market my project, I would definitely give it a try instead of just doing the whole it should be organic, but the whole organic Discord from Discord to Discord thing, I also doubt that this is the only way to go.
I'm not against organic is one of the best ways.
But the best way is always to if you are a real sexy brand already in Web2 space, for example, right, it will be very easy for you to do a project and have organic.
That's right.
Organically joining you because you already invested a lot of time and effort and probably money into.
And you have the community,
etc. Right, so that's easy. If you are now a Web2 brand without any kind of community, any cultural relevance, it will be very hard for you. So only option you have is raffles, whitelist spaces, and then advertising. Right.
Yeah. I know we are it's been about 30 minutes, but the last question, I want you to share your opinion on that, because when we had a call a few weeks ago, you mentioned something that is really interesting in my point of view. Can you share your thoughts about the other side project, especially with all the servers they're gonna host, because you have a lot of experience with that? Can you maybe just quickly talk about it?
Yeah, I think I just mentioned in our last call, that I think it will be, it's a good question how they are going to pay for the whole server stuff, right? But on the one hand, they collected a lot of money up front, so they were able to build the game, develop the game, etc. And I think it is a Pixel streaming technology. So it is an awesome looking 3D environment. And they are planning to have, of course, in the beginning, all the holders in there, right? The 10,000 of people to have in there. But I mean, if you think it through how the whole project is going to evolve, right? So at a certain point, they want to open it, I believe, maybe not to the public, but I can imagine that now they really spend a lot of money on the hosting, right? And because every minute costs money for this, because it's still super expensive, Pixel streaming. So I just don't know how they're going to do it. If it's going to be like a subscription model, or that you have to pay like 50 euros a month if you want to be in there, or I don't know. Haven't thought about it yet, but it will be a problem in their business model if they don't find a way for this, right? Because it's not just that you open it up and then all the people join. Somebody has to pay for the server costs, I think. And I'm excited to understand what they are doing in the future with it. And it's the same thing for all brands that want to do this, right? Because that's what a lot of projects are doing right now. we first sell you the avatar and then the metaverse, and then you can come in. But who's paying for the whole infrastructure? That's a good question, I would say.
That's a really good question, Jan. It was a pleasure having you on the podcast. Yes. I really appreciate you being on it. Guys, make sure to leave a follow, leave a subscribe, like the podcast, share it, and check out the comments and follow Jan on LinkedIn. Thank you again, Jan.
Yes, was a real pleasure. Bye-bye.